Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, your calls. And we'll do a round of Ask Tony and Jenny. So it's an open line show today. I'm excited. I always like these.
Yeah.
Always interesting to hear the stories direct from our listeners' mouths.
Sometimes it conveys the fear a little bit better.
Yeah, I like the people where they're like really disturbed and you can still feel the shock in their voice and they're probably shaking and their family has probably abandoned them. Those are the ones that I really, I'm kidding.
That's awful.
That's horrible. But just seriously, just hearing it from, you know, someone who's gone through it is really an interesting way of hearing the stories.
It is.
So I'm excited about that. And of course, another round of Ask Tony and Jenny Your Questions answered by us here on Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, the phone number is 855-853-4802. Or you can always write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. I hate it when my computer, you know, the updates and all of that, you know, it keeps it running smoothly. I just saw my computer is telling me that I can update to Windows 10 if I'd like.
Yeah.
I'd like to not. I'd like to just kind of not do that. I mean, not that I'm all that big of a fan of whatever version it is I have, but it's functioning. The programs are functioning. Whenever I upgrade, it usually makes something not work correctly, and it takes about a year or two to get everything working again. Then by that point, oh, we have to upgrade to the next one.
Yeah.
I'm still running like Windows XP on many computers.
See, I don't like trying to figure out where things went.
Yeah, that's what I hate too. That and the compatibility issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, nope, it's working fine over here. Don't really need new bells and whistles. When I get a new computer or something, sure, then I get that. But everything's functioning well.
Yeah.
I don't need to add that to the mix. And I'm sure this will just sit here and bother me for the next week or eight or years until I actually do upgrade it. But it's a free upgrade. Great. I'm just going to pretend that's not there. Let's go to our first caller of the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online and see what we got. Let's go to Antonio and hear Antonio's Real Ghost Story. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. Hope this message finds you guys in high spirits. And I just wanted to share, it's not necessarily a ghost story, but just kind of a weird story that happened to me today about 2 hours ago. And today is June 6, 2015. I know you guys, answering service probably has a timestamp, but I'm just doing that for my own record. But my name is Antonio, and just to give a little backstory, I'm from Kansas City, Kansas. Currently living in Olathe, but I was religious up until I went to college, and I lost my faith while I was in college. And then a year ago, on April 20th, which so happened to be Easter, I found God again because I just happened to be spending that weekend in jail, and it was my first time ever being in jail. And the Lord reached out to me while I was in there, and I found my faith again. So, all right, on to the story. What happened is that it was just kind of strange. I went to the gym and I always put my wallet in my middle console, and I take my keys and my phone into the gym with me because I read my Bible while I'm working out on my Bible app on my phone. So I'm working out, and it's this guy sitting next to me that just out of the blue starts talking to me and asks if I go to church. And I told him, no, I don't really go to church because, you know, it's ran by man and they sin just like we do and so on and so on. So I just read my Bible and pray and have a relationship with the Lord just between me and him. And so he's, you know, asked me questions about that. And then he talked about some general stuff about working out and playing basketball. And then he asked to take my number, you know, so he could keep in touch. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. So after that happened, you know, I complete my workout. And I'm like, okay, I'll just run pretty much across the street to Quick Trip and give me something to drink. And then I'll run up to Walmart and buy a few things. So I get out the car, get ready to go on the Quick Trip. And I realize, oh, I've left my wallet in the middle console. So I go back to the car, look in the middle console, my wallet's not there. I'm like, okay, that's kind of strange. So I'm moving everything in the middle console, wallet's nowhere to be found. Do that a few times. So I was like, okay, maybe I left it at home, but just in case, I'll go back and check at the gym. But I knew clearly that I didn't remember taking my wallet into the gym with me. But so I pull up to the gym. I look all around the car just to make sure it didn't like fall out of my pocket while I was driving or something. And which it couldn't have because, like I said, it was in the middle console. But just to, you know, process of elimination pretty much. So it's nowhere to be found in the car. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back in the gym and ask that anybody turn in the wallet, which I'm pretty sure they didn't, but just so I can narrow it down and feel like, okay, I probably left it at home. So I go in there and I ask, and they say, no, nah, nobody's turned in the wallet. And I'm like, okay, I probably just left it at home. So go back to my car, look in the middle console again, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I must have just left it at home. I thought I remember bringing it, but maybe not. So I'm driving home, and mind you, I had my workout gloves on the whole time. I didn't take them off after I got done. So I'm on my way home, going down the street, and I take my workout gloves off to put them in the middle console because that's where I keep them at. And lo and behold, I open up the middle console, and the wallet's just sitting right there. And mind you, I shuffled everything around, moved everything around, and it's not like a big space, and it's not really even much in there. And, yeah, it was just sitting right there. So I was like, okay, I guess maybe I'll turn around and, you know, go back to Quick Trip and go to Walmart. Then I was like, nah, I'll just go home. And I couldn't help but think that, you know, maybe it was God. Maybe it was in his will that he didn't want me to go to Quick Trip and Walmart at that time for whatever reason. I don't know. Or who knows? I could have gotten into a car accident or anything. But I just found it very strange that I looked in that middle console a bunch of times and it just never showed up until that moment. And it was just sitting right there. As soon as I opened it, I saw it. So it just kind of threw me for a loop, and I came home and told my dad about it, and he was like, oh, that's strange. So yeah, that was pretty strange. And like I said, that just happened like a couple of hours ago. I actually have another story that happened to me and my dad, actually, when I was much younger, about some witchcraft stuff and spiders appearing on a roof that wasn't really there. But I'll share that story another time. That was pretty tripped out. But thanks, guys. Keep up the excellent work. I'm listening to your show, catching up. I'm about 8 months out from being current. So, you know, while I'm at work or while I'm driving, I usually listen to you guys and just quick catch up. And I also got to do one thing, because I always wanted to say this. Call in your real ghost story at 855-853-4802, 855-853-4802. All right, you guys have a good one. Thanks.
That is indeed the phone number to call.
He got it right.
Yes, he did.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny.
Which I sometimes forget.
Yeah.
There's days where it's like, what is, what's that? No, yeah. But there you go. Thank you, Antonio, for that story. That was a really interesting story. What do you make of that when things like that happen? I mean, I've had things like that happen to me.
I think everything happens for a reason, and something was trying to keep him from doing what his plans were.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I think something was messing with him, because there's been times where you're looking right at,
mm-hmm.
say, your console or whatever, and you're just not seeing what you're looking for, but that usually maybe just for a second happens, you
sure.
know, but not repeatedly. And then going to all the effort of trying to find where the wallet is and then going back and still not seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing where you know, you go through the house and I, you know, like I'll look on the counter, like, or the bathroom counter for my wallet or something,
mm-hmm.
or I'll just scan and like, oh, it's not there. And I search and it's nowhere to be found. And I go back, oh, it's on the bathroom counter, but I just scanned it once quickly. I likely missed it.
Yeah.
You know, in that case, it's one thing to sit there, literally peruse the entire counter, take all the items off, go through it, and it's not there, and then come back to it later, and suddenly it's there.
Yeah.
That's like what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting how that works. I mean, whether it's God, whether it's some sort of, you know, guardian force or angel or whatever you want to call it, I do think that something, you know, something is at work there, you know, for a reason, you know. It's interesting how that happens.
Well, and especially since he got in the car, he started driving, it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But during the trip, he goes to put something else away, and then it appears.
Yeah.
So it's not even somebody could have, you know, put it back.
Sure.
While he wasn't in the car. No, it happened that quickly.
Yeah, that's a very interesting phenomenon that I think happens to a lot of us quite frequently. And sometimes you end up knowing the reason and sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have been interesting if he's like, and the Quick Trip got held up that night and, you know,
yeah.
10 people got shot or something. You know, it'd be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been like, oh my God, that's why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's probably better not to know the reasons too, because that could be even more disturbing.
Yeah.
You know, as to what the outcome could have been. Interesting stuff. Thanks for calling in. Of course, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Manuel in California. Hi.
Hi, my name is Manuel. I live in Northern California in the Sacramento area. I just recently found your show on YouTube, and I feel almost a kinship with a lot of the people that call in. I've had paranormal experiences pretty much my whole life since I was a little kid. And I never really thought too much about them. They freaked me out, but I just thought everybody had these experiences. I didn't, you know, I thought at some point everybody has a, you know, a ghost story to tell, or they saw something that was weird. And I've been married for 30 years, and recently I had another experience about a year ago, and I was telling my wife about it, and she just kind of looked at me and said, you know, she had never had a paranormal experience of any kind. She said, there's something about you. It's not normal. Everybody doesn't have these weird experiences. Once I found your show, I thought I would call and share my most recent experience. And I'll call again because I've had things happen forever. But I was volunteering. I'm into mixed martial arts, and I was volunteering some time at a local gym teaching kids. And Wednesday nights was my MMA night. And the thing would wind up about 9:30. All the kids would be gone. And the building that we were in was kind of a warehouse-type building. It was on the corner of the building. And the parking lot's behind the building. So when you leave, I'm always the last one out because, you know, we train at night. And I would pull through the gate, and it had one of those cyclone fence type gates on the wheels that you'd pull over and latch and then put a padlock on. And I would finish up on Wednesday nights, and my buddy was not there on Wednesday nights. That was my night. We would do Mondays and Tuesdays together, and then Wednesday was my night, and then he would do Thursday by himself. So Wednesday, I'm by myself, and it's got street lights over it. You know, it's not like you're in this dark wooded area or anything. It's in town. But every time I would pull past that gate and pull the gate closed, I felt like somebody was watching me. And there was a big tree on one side and the corner of the building on the other. And either by the tree or the corner of the building, I always felt like, as soon as I turned my back, like somebody was standing there. And I even went over and looked around the tree a couple times and went to the edge of the building. And the building's a block long. And it was closed at that time. So there's no doors open where anybody could duck into. I never saw anybody or anything, but I always had that creepy feeling. So one night, when I was helping my buddy, I think it was a Tuesday night, we got out of there a little late, and we were standing outside the building talking, just, you know, kind of bullshitting by the car, talking about what we had done that night. And I told him, I said, every time I pull through that gate, I get this creepy feeling that somebody's watching me. And it was funny because he had this shocked look on his face, and he told me that he had the same experience. And in fact, one night he said he closed the gate and he spun around and he saw what looked like, I don't know if it was a shadow person, but a dark silhouette kind of pull its head back from the building. And it was only about 10 feet to the corner of the building. So he said he ran up and there was nothing there. So we're standing outside talking about this, and I'm kind of used to it, I guess, but he's getting freaked out. And right at that moment, it's a dead-end street, and we're up towards the front of the street, and the street goes back about two blocks, and then you have to turn around. It's dead ends into a little cul-de-sac. And the street lights started to go out at the end of the street while we're talking about this. And I look down, and I see the street light, and they're coming towards us. They're going off in succession, coming toward us. And he is flipping out. His eyes are big around his silver dollars, and he's watching. And then he started to freak me out. And then when they got to us, the building lights, they were halogen lights outside. They weren't connected to the street lights at all. They were on the building. They flickered and went out. And it was just the creepiest, I don't know, it was almost like an acknowledgement of whatever presence we had been both feeling. It was letting us know it was there. But I tell you, I never looked forward to Wednesday nights when I would leave there by myself, because every single time I pulled that gate closed, there was something. It felt like there was something watching me. And that's the most recent experience I've had. Had many more, and I'll call back.
You know, it kind of sounds like almost a shadow person with the slider phenomenon.
The slider phenomenon?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Where the lights, you make the street lights go out.
Oh, yeah.
People
yeah.
that have that electromagnetic thing. I don't really know how to describe it, but they tend to always have a ability to, when they go by like a street light, it goes out or something like that.
I had that when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat.
Yeah.
And creepy.
It's almost kind of a combination, but I don't know. Was it just a ill-timed power outage?
Well, when you have them in that sort of a succession, though, you know, I mean, it's, you think they'd all be going out at the same time, wouldn't they?
That's true.
With something like that, it's like, bam. I mean, when you see the streetlights go on, you know, you're not seeing them bam, 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 bam. It's usually, boom, they're all on.
Yeah.
You know, that's almost like a pattern, like making itself known.
That is scary. Talking about that to somebody who's already freaked out, and then that starts to happen.
Yeah, that's that could be a really great joke if you could coordinate all of that to really freak someone out. But it's even creepier when you have no control over what's going on.
Uh-huh.
That was a really good story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that one with us. Let's go over to Ashton, 855-853-4802, our phone number.
Hey, guys. My name's Ashton. I love the show. I've been listening just for the past couple weeks, but I've always been kind of interested in paranormal things and ghosts and stuff like that. But I've got a story for you. When I was in high school, me and my buddies all kind of considered ourselves amateur ghost adventurer type people. You know, we always were out looking around, trying to get something cool wherever we were. We were looking up stuff on the internet, trying to find places and looking for some, you know, some fun ghost adventuring, I guess, but the scariest experience we ever had was we found this asylum, old-time asylum, online that was built back in, I believe, the 1920s. And the story there was that in the 1920s, they didn't have very good knowledge of the human mind and what to do with these crazy people. And there was a doctor there that pretty much did a whole lot of lobotomies and killed a lot of people. And so there was, we probably went like 50 or so times, just whenever we had free time. But we went this one night. We'd been there for a couple hours looking around, and we had some cameras and were recording things. And I was there with probably six people. And over the course of the night, people got bored and they'd go outside and just sit around. And there was only four of us left inside. Well, my brother happens to be a bit skeptic, was upstairs with the only girl that had come with us, and she was standing in the lunchroom of the asylum by herself, and my brother was down the hall from her. Well, what happened is my brother walked into the room, and she was holding completely still, and was standing in the middle of the room, very quiet, and he asked her, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yes, I'm fine. I don't need to leave. I'm okay." So he kind of thought that what she was doing was weird, but left her alone. Well, about 5 minutes went by, and he got closer to her and realized she was crying, even though her facial expressions didn't show any signs of distress. There were tears pouring out of her face. So he told her, "Listen, we need to go." And she said, "No, I'm fine. I want to stay." And at that point, he began to panic and kind of grabbed her and picked her up and was like, "We need to leave. Something's wrong. You're not acting like yourself." He brought her down the stairs, and she was, as soon as she left the lunchroom, she started screaming at him, telling him that she wanted to stay and she was fine, and which is totally unlike her. She's a very easygoing person, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. So then we heard her screaming. Me and my friend ran up the stairs and helped him drag her outside. And then once we got her out there, my brother had to give her a blessing to kind of calm her down. We're... He's a priest in our church, and he was able to do that. But after we got her calmed down, we were like, you know what? What was going on? She told us the story from her point of view, which was when she was walked into the room because she heard screaming. She walked in and was trying to find the source of this screaming upstairs. And walked into the lunchroom and said that she saw a man standing in the lunchroom, and she could hear screams, but they weren't coming from this man. He seemed to be yelling at her at the top of his voice, but she couldn't hear him. She could hear other screams. And then he was gone, and it terrified her, and she was like, "I need to leave." And it wasn't until that moment that she realized she couldn't move, that something she felt like had a hold of her. She just couldn't walk. And she kept hearing these screams. They kept getting louder and louder and louder. And my brother came into the room. She didn't actually remember seeing him. Didn't remember coming down the stairs. And had no knowledge of anything that happened between the two of them until she got outside. Now, at this point, my friend Jordan, who was the other kid that was in there with me, turned around and he said he saw someone standing in the doorway of the asylum. So he went running back inside. and yelled something along the lines of, "Don't fuck with my friends." And ran back inside, and I followed him. He said that he walked into the center of the lobby, and there was the man standing there, and he reached his hand out for him as if to, like, shake his hand or to get some sort of confirmation from him. And he said when he looked up, the man was gone. And I walked into the room behind him, and he was holding his hand out to the thin air. And I didn't see anything. I asked him what was wrong. He said there was a man there 2 seconds ago. I swear, I just saw somebody. And so I grabbed him, told him, "Listen, this is some pretty weird stuff. We need to leave. We're done for tonight. Shelby doesn't feel good. We need to go home." And so that was one of the scarier moments of my life, especially dragging her down a flight of stairs, screaming at us that she didn't want to leave. I hope you guys use my story. If not, it's always fun to listen to you. Hopefully I'll hear you guys play this soon, or maybe not. I don't know. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. Yeah, that's always extremely frightening when one of your friends becomes slightly possessed.
I was going to ask if you thought it was a possession or if it was just an overwhelming sensitivity to the energy that was still there.
Well, I don't know if I'd classify it, you know, as a full-blown, you know, complete possession. The fact that it seems more than just, you know, shocked and, you know, dealing with the sensitivity of what happened. I think it's a step beyond that and a step before, like, full-blown possession with the way that she was so adamant on not wanting to leave.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was something that, you know, I'm sure in her right mind, she didn't want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, and clearly her friends, the judgment, were all, "Let's get out of here." But, you know, if she's very, that's not in her personality, and she's, you know, violently, and to a certain extent, you know, trying to stop them from removing her,
mm-hmm.
that's usually not a good sign. That's usually something else is taking over and something else is communicating through her.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think?
I think you're right. I was just wondering if maybe she was just overwhelmed by maybe actually having visions of what had happened there.
Sure.
And, you know, feeling kind of drawn towards that, not so much, I guess, in a true possession level, but just more of a, I don't know, can't look away kind of thing.
Sure. And she wasn't really walking on all fours, you know, with her back to the ground, you know, like a spider, that sort of possession. But yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Creepy, creepy stuff. 855-853-4802. And all the more reason why I enjoy the ghost stories from afar.
Yeah.
From just sitting here in the studio, hearing the calls, telling the stories, discussing them, but not really jumping into the haunted location to try and have an experience ourselves. Taste the magic.
Taste the magic.
Taste the magic.
Okay.
Taste the rainbow.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
Kind of, yeah. You know, like Skittles?
Uh-huh.
That's Skittles, right?
That is Skittles.
What's Starburst? Do they have a...
I don't know.
I don't know if Starburst has one or not. There you go. 855-853-4802. That's for our other podcast, discussing slogans of candies.
We don't have another podcast.
That's what it's called, discussing slogans of candies. No one's ever heard of it, but there's 400 episodes. And for an hour, we just talk about candy slogans. Now, that is compelling radio.
That'll put anybody to sleep.
That's part of it. It's kind of like right in line with those sound boxes that play waves and things of that nature. Let's go over to, let's see here. So if I don't hit my microphone with my hand, let's go to this caller here and hear their real ghost story. Of course, our number 855-853-4802. Hi.
Yes, this happened when I was younger. My mom and dad went to the grocery store, and me and my brother and sister was all in the back bedroom. My sister was reading the Bible to us. She wasn't really paying much attention. I was like 9. My brother was 10. My sister was 15. My sister's name is Marsha, and my mom always called her Marsh for short. Well, all of a sudden, we all three heard my mom come and dad come in. It's a ranch-style house, one floor. We were in the back bedroom. We couldn't see him, but we heard him. We heard my mom came in and say, Marsh. We heard keys, and we heard the grocery bags. All three of us jumped up, said, Mom's home, and ran out to the living room. No one was there. The door was shut and locked. And my mom and dad did get home for 2 hours later, and we told them what happened. So scary, because it replicated my mother's voice exactly, and the keys in the grocery bags. So we definitely thought it had to be a demon to be able to replicate my mom's voice like that. We were all freaked out. So that's my story.
Nothing like demons sounding like mom.
Yeah, and all three of them heard it. So it wasn't just one of them saying, oh, I think mom's home. No.
Do you think it was a demon? Do you think it was some sort of residual energy that somehow audibly became present? What do you make of it?
I think if that's the only thing that happened, it's probably more of a residual.
I don't really get demon because you're really, unless more things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just from that, it's hard to say demon and that it wouldn't be something else. Or, you know, something else that, you know, sounds like mom.
Right.
And was just another ghost that, I don't know, be creepy as hell to have that happen.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid and I was hearing my mom say something, but it was faint, you know, it was just, you know, and it could have been questionable if there was even any audio at all. It'd be like you're outside and you hear, you know, the wind and everything else and the creek and the cars and there's a lot of noise going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then many times, you know, I run up, what do you want? I didn't call you. You know, and it's probably me just thinking I was, you know, hearing things or, you know, but when it's that clear.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
Very interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us, as we would love to hear it. Val in Texas. Let's go there. Hi, Val.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Brisky. This is Valeria again from the suburbs of Dallas, Texas. I left about an 8-minute story on how the whole thing began with me, and I just like to call him my companion now. I mean, that might be too benign of a title, but I don't know. Everyone can make up their own minds. Where I last stopped, it was the first time someone else saw this tall, black, man-like creature with a wolf's head, yellow eyes, and, it was my boyfriend. We had laid in bed, and he had said, don't you hate it when your eyes adjust to the dark? And I said, what do you see? And I had never told him about it before. So this was at 16 for 10 years, you know, I'd been seeing and hearing and feeling this presence. And finally, I kind of felt some validation. So what would be the next way to start? I guess it would be a couple years later. I broke up with someone and I had a very vivid dream. And anyway, the first part of the dream was kind of unnecessary to the story. But then in there was like a second part, like a second chapter of the dream where I rolled into this ditch and I stood up and I was in this very high grass. And there was this gypsy woman who was selling these really strange smoky looking packages. And there was like one person in front of me getting advice or something, and I just felt drawn towards her, and she just kind of looked at me and got this terrified look on her face and said, you have it the worst of all, the desperate warrior. And all of a sudden I turn around, she's gone, her booth is gone, it's just me in this dark underbrush, you know, in high grass, and I hear the sound of paw, very heavy but slow paw steps coming towards me and movement in the bush, and I feel like I'm being hunted. And so I wake up. I started to do some research. I typed in, quote, desperate warrior, you know, wolves, because that's definitely the feeling I was getting. And I found out that there, you know, everybody knows, well, most people know who the berserkers were. You know, the Vikings who would dress up in bear skin and go into battle. And some people think that they did psychedelics in order to actually believe that they were bears. It turns out there was a whole other faction called the Wolfen Horde, which is the same thing. These Vikings that would put on wolf skin, put on the wolf head, and go into war as wolves. And in the article I was reading, it said they were sometimes called the Desperate Warriors. So I thought I had it all figured out. I started having, you know, these dreams over and over again, but I didn't see him for a very long time. I'd get the feeling of pressure in my shoulder blades I talked about before, the hair on the back of my neck, like a presence, but it never scared me. You know, it only scared in the past that my poor boyfriend who saw him, my poor ex-boyfriend. And I had a long conversation with my mother's boyfriend at the time. He's very spiritual, very into Egyptian mythology, Viking mythology, you know, you name it. And I just kind of, I didn't tell him, like, all the details. I just said, I feel like something's been following me my entire life. And he seems to not like, you know, my boyfriends. He seems to want to scare them off. He hovers over them. He intimidates them, whether they can see him or not. And he said, well, that's obvious. And I was like, really? Not to me. And he said, yeah, he's probably some kind of a lover or husband from a past life who wasn't allowed to be in human form in this life. And I was just like, okay, I mean, that's a good idea. Theory. I'm not going to take it and run with it, but that makes a little sense. Then I started throwing a lot of parties because about this time I was 18, and my parents, or my mother was never home, and people would come in and say, hey, is there someone, you know, in your bedroom? There's a tall black figure. They never said the wolf ears and the yellow eyes, but I was just like, oh, I don't know. You tell me. There was really just a lot of peace for 3 years. But then I started dating a specific guy, and I asked him if I could use his name. And maybe I shouldn't. Anyway, I'll call him Sean. It's not his name. And I had never told Sean about this entity. I said that I felt like a haunted person sometimes, but never went into descriptions. So one night I was at my mother's house. I was getting ready to move in with this said, with Sean. And I couldn't sleep. I was just pacing the floor. I mean, I'm an insomniac anyway, but I was pacing the floor. I just couldn't settle down. I couldn't sit down. I felt like something was kind of pounding me, like an animal following you around. But every time I turned around, there's nothing there. All the cats were in bed with my parents, or at least I hope. Maybe it was just a cat following me, but this is where it gets intense. I get a phone call from Sean. He has a very important interview the next day in order to be like on a Conan show. He's a backstage director type dude, and it was very important that he got sleep. And he calls me, and he is crying like shaking, crying, can't breathe. I'm like, baby, calm down. What is it? And he said, there's something right next to my bed. Right next to my bed, crouching, staring at me. And I was like, okay, calm down. Look, is he still there? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, what happened? And he said he couldn't sleep all night. He's tossing, turning. He even smoked a joint. Right, so, you know, that might not give some invalidity to what he said. But, he said he just could not sleep for the life of him. And he said he rolled over to the edge of his bed that faced out into the room, and a black face with yellow eyes and wolf ears was crouching so that they were face to face. He said he screamed so loud he couldn't believe no one heard him. I mean, in his house, you can talk, it's one of those weird houses, you can talk at like this level and someone on the other side of the house can hear you. He said he felt like his room had become encapsulated. And he said that this entity started growling and you know, trying to intimidate him. And when finally he spoke, which I got actually kind of got jealous because he never spoke to me. And Sean said that he told him, stay away from Val. You're no good for her. You'll only dirty her or something like that. Like you have to stay away from her. If you don't, I will haunt you daily, nightly. Your dreams will be never peaceful. You will never have a pleasant day because I will show myself. And so I just kind of sat there and listened to him cry and just kept trying to calm him down. And I said, honey, you need to do this. You need to imagine white light, laugh about something. And he was like so scared to get out of bed. Anyway, we were together for 6 years, and Shay was haunted much worse by this entity than I was. I mean, I didn't even see him for a long time, but Sean said that it's like he followed him anywhere, and he invaded his thoughts, constantly telling him, "No, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. Don't touch her, you know, don't kiss her. How could you dare kiss her? How could you defile her like that?" Those sorts of things. We eventually broke up after 6 years, very recently, actually. And it seemed to appease him. It seemed to appease this entity. And the last time I saw him was about 4 or 5 months ago. I just kind of glanced out the window of my house, and it seemed like he was circling, like an officer would circle an officer would, you know, just making his rounds around the block, just checking stuff out. And I got nothing mean off of him. I felt nothing negative off of him. However, the pressure in my shoulder blades when he's around does concern me. I've looked on the internet. I've tried to do some research about that. I have no idea what that is. And if you have heard anything like that, I mean, I've listened to most of your shows by now. I've gone on a total binge, and I want to be an EPP at least by next month. I just, you know, paid my bills this month and got all the cash off. So it's, but next month for sure. I really appreciate what you guys do. Thanks, guys.
Okay, this may be a real stretch, but with a wolf-type character that's constantly with her and haunting her,
mm-hmm.
when she mentions the feeling in her shoulder blade that something is there, it almost makes me think of, like, the haunches on a canine-type on a canine-type animal.
Okay.
Like a wolf or a dog, how they get that between their shoulder blades when something is around them.
Okay.
Maybe she had something, you know, in a past life or, you know, some kind of connection two wolf-type animals. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know what to think of that. I mean, I'm wondering how much of this was really him and something that was haunting him.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder, was there something more than, you know, more than paranormal going on here with him?
Well, this is something that's haunted her whole life.
Yeah.
She had a previous call about it, and it's always been with her.
Okay.
So I don't think it really, I think it haunts whoever her partner is at the time.
Okay.
But then it, you know, it mainly sticks with her.
It's kind of a curse.
It sounds kind of like a curse to me, but I don't know. I know that that's really probably kind of a weird and far stretch to say, but as far as talking about wolves and talking about sensations in the shoulder blade area, that's mm-hmm. just where I thought of.
It makes sense.
Well, I don't know. I'm not trying to say that you're a wolf. I'm just trying to
say. Yes, she is.
Maybe there's some kind of connection there.
You're so. Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf. Right.
Teen Wolf. Just like Michael J. Fox. He was Teen Wolf, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it was just it's a very bizarre story. I mean, obviously, there's something going on there. I don't know what to make of the wolf thing, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really at a loss for words on that one. Because
uh-huh.
it's so strange. But I would love to hear other folks' ideas and thoughts on that, maybe on the forum section
mm-hmm.
on our website at Real Ghost Stories Online. That is just a very, very odd story. But thank you for calling in and sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's see if we can get this right. It's time for everyone's favorite segment, Ask Tony and Jenny. Yeah, today's Ask Tony and Jenny is brought to you by Kibble and Bits. Kibble and Bits, feed it to your pets, feed it to your children, and tell them it's Skittles. Kibble and Bits by Menon. There you
go. Everything's by Menon.
It is.
Okay.
It just makes things that much better. All right, let me pull up some of the Ask Tony and Jenny questions here. One of the questions is, which horror or ghost movie is most closest to reality? Jenny, well, 10 seconds to answer.
Probably The Conjuring.
The Conjuring?
Yeah.
I would agree.
Okay.
I was probably going to go there with that. I mean, just based on what I've learned from the conversation we had with someone who actually went through it. And their words exactly were, it was really a very good representation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe like Beautiful Story was how it was described by Andrea Perrin, which it was a disturbing ass story as I would describe it. But,
yeah.
You know, it's part of her life and they lived in that house for so many years. Yeah, I'd say compared to other ones. Yeah, that was probably right up there. I mean, Amityville, the movie was so far off base from the book. Especially the last one that came out.
Yeah.
Well, the last one in like 2005. There's been like six other, you know, bizarre spinoffs of it since then. There's a new one coming out, actually.
Yeah.
Like a full-blown studio one,
mm-hmm.
like of the quality of the one from 2005, which was a great horror movie, I will say. But just, you know, the reference, I mean, basically the part that's accurate is the house had eye-like windows.
Okay.
The rest of the movie was kind of like a different story,
uh-huh.
if you will. But there's another new one coming out, I believe next year is when it's slated for release, but we'll see. Next question from Cisco, I believe.
Okay.
Are you as intrigued now as you first were as the many levels of the spirit realm, so multi-layered?
I am. I'm just more confused now than I was when I began.
Yeah.
Because it's like the more I learn, the more questions I have. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to add something new to a story
mm-hmm.
as far as what when we talk about it. But it doesn't mean that I'm any less interested. It's just one of those things that it's hard to think differently about it.
Sure.
I'm always, I get kind of excited when we suddenly like, oh, I didn't think we thought of it that way before.
Yeah.
And we have those moments. A lot of it is kind of rehashing, because obviously we do the show, you know, all throughout the week, you know, similar, not necessarily similar stories, but, oh, this is a ghost of a human. This is a ghost, you know, this is a demon type ghost. And, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of, you know, reiterating kind of what we've, our thoughts are on some of it, but every once in a while you get a different level that you're unaware of.
Yeah.
And it makes it really, I mean, it's still very intriguing to me. I'm probably more intrigued now than I was before, just because, you know, starting this, I don't think I realized how multi-layered it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, the Saturday Night Live taco bit, where you get the taco, wrap it in a pizza, cover it in guacamole, wrap it in a pancake, and then smother it in waffles. You know, it just keeps going.
Sure.
That's what it is. Speaking of which, the next question is, what kind of pizza do y'all like?
I have to say my favorite comes from a local place here. My favorite restaurant is a little brewery here in Wichita. It's called Wichita Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. And they have a pizza called the Triple Spicy Italian, and that is my favorite. And it's basically, you know, like a thin crust with, it's got Italian dressing on it, and then, you know, pizza sauce and three different kinds of meats and cheese. So it's kind of a dressed up pepperoni, I guess.
It is, and it's delicious.
It is.
My favorite pizza, I would have to say, is probably one from my childhood, and it's still around in Wisconsin and some of the other states near Wisconsin. And I think there's, I don't know where they've all franchised out to, but it's a place called Rocky Rococo.
Okay.
And it's just delicious pizza. I like the it's a pan pizza. It has Italian sausage on it. Just the Italian sausage one is what I like.
Why don't we go there when we go up?
I don't know.
Let's just go there. You've never taken us there.
Well, we've gone through the drive through.
You and I got one piece and split it. That doesn't do it justice.
We should just go there. I mean, it's delicious.
Let's just do that.
I love Rocky Rococo pizza. In fact, I order their sauce from them sometimes. I have to call them, and then they'll mail me the sauce.
It's my secret ingredient to the meatloaf I make.
It is, and it's delicious. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite pizza. Let's do another question here. How was your day today? From Sabrina. How was your day today, Jenny?
Well, my day was good because we're actually recording this on my birthday.
Yeah.
So it's an awesome day for me.
It is, yes.
I'm not going to talk about how old I am, mm-hmm. but my wonderful husband made crab legs for me because that's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good day.
And I actually caught the crabs myself from the oceans of Kansas.
You went to Sam's Club.
I did, and I bought a large box of them.
And we did s'mores on the campfire instead of cake, so I mm-hmm. didn't have a bunch of cake left around for mm-hmm. me to, you know, see and consume. So, you know, by the time you're done making s'mores, there's not extras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go. You've had a good 24 hours.
It's been great.
Really. And my day has been peachy keen.
Okay.
It really has. It's been fine. Nothing really super eventful, but peachy keen. Talked with an EPP earlier today who wanted to talk about sponsoring a future episode of the show with a paranormal book that he's working on.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Or he has a friend that's working on.
Yeah.
And it sounds really interesting, so I'm hoping that that comes to fruition later in the year when he's looking at that. So,
cool.
And of course, I mean, what other? It was a perfect show for something like that. So that's exciting because the book sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Sarah Wood writes in, has anything weird happened to you, you two, since you started the show?
Not like here in the studio at all, but when we went out and did the Spirits in the Air video for EPPs, we went to the original Wichita Airport, which we are now on our third mm-hmm. airport.
Yeah, yeah.
And the original one was built, you know, back in the 30s, and there was this part where we're interviewing the executive director, and you're standing kind of behind me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
And we were asking him questions. I was sitting down, and Tony tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around and looked at him. His arms are crossed, and he's too far away to have been tapping me on the shoulder. And I looked at him, and then I kind of looked back at the guy, and I said, did you just do that? And he's like, no, I didn't do that. So that's been the only creepy thing that's happened since the show, other than when we went up and did that walk in West Bend and we saw a ghost up there. But
yeah, up in the window of the courthouse or museum.
Yeah,
or
yeah, the courthouse.
Yeah. I've yet to be touched by a ghost.
Yeah.
I'd like to be.
No, don't. Be careful what you wish for.
Okay. There's so many places I could go with that, and I'll just leave it there.
Leave it.
One more question before we wrap up this round of Ask Tony and Jenny. Tracy Reed says, what made Jenny decide to do the show?
My husband asked if I wanted to co-host for an evening just to see what it was like. I really, really, really did not want to do that because I get nightmares very easily, and I just knew all these stories were going to give me nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first show, it was a lot of fun, and we were able to make it an hour long, and we got so much positive feedback that we just decided to keep going. And knock on wood, I have not had any nightmares from the stories. It's only been from things I see.
Yeah.
Like movies and stuff. So it kind of felt like this was where I needed to be.
Yeah, and it's just worked out good ever since. So there you go. That's that round of Ask Tony and Jenny. Of course, you can ask your questions on social media. We post the question box out there about once a week or so, and that's your chance to ask. We may answer it on a future episode of the show or in our new EPP video feature of Ask Tony and Jenny, which will be released along with a new website, which is almost ready to go.
Yay.
Very excited about that. And that'll be another weekly feature for EPP. Some extra stuff there, extra video content. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get all of the bonus episodes of the show and video content and all that other good stuff. Only $5 a month. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. That's how we keep the show on the air, folks. So if you like it and you want to keep going, please consider throwing a little bit in the pot and allowing us to continue. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski and the thing that tapped her, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.